Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Happy people are grateful people, and grateful people are generous people. The gift of giving gifts opens our hearts in a way that connects us to each other. And during a time of crisis, during a time of global awareness of our vulnerability, it's natural for us to pull back a bit and be a little distant. Now, I'm not talking that we don't do the fist pumps. That's my preference. Or the handshake and sanitize afterwards. I'm in for a hug if you are, but I won't force my hug on you if you know, we will interpret each other. And you saw my Friday e-letter and the film clip I put with it, or the Wuhan foot shake. And that is, you kind of go like this, and you go like that. Or you just kind of bow. There's a way in our body language we're communicating that we're aware that there's an infection. We don't know where it's all going to go. But we know, don't we know, in whose hands we live. Hands we live. The hands that can cleanse us, if we had just sung, to cleanse us from our sin and to cleanse our minds in ways that we may think that will help to break through and create a cure for the coronavirus, to be able to create pathways in relationships. It's not a matter of our just waiting for this to pass. Not that God caused this. But in a crisis, God is consistently true to create something good out of something bad. And in the awareness that the whole world of 7 billion people understand, we are in this together. Can something great be born from that? Something great that is born from a love and the awareness for each other? Something as big as the generosity of God's heart touching the hearts of the people in this world. And who else should lead in this movement but followers of Christ? Who else should lead in this movement of what it is that the Lord made clear in the Gospels and the book of Acts, and that are disciples? That's the New Testament word for what it means to be a Christ follower. And as you know, because this is our message series leading up to Easter, the word disciple is used 260 times in the Gospels and the book of Acts. This is who we are, and for such a crisis, we are given the opportunity to be generous and a love that is contagious to convey God's power in the lives of others. You know, 125 of us showed up yesterday. That's 25 more than last year for our annual church work day on the campus. And people were cleansing our building. Sanitizers were everywhere. And if you were greeted by a very generous smell of the fertilizer on the front lawn this morning, I mean, last Sunday we had the fragrance of the skunk. Today it was the San Antonio and Stock Show remains that were here. The sense of people coming together in a common effort to create a common good so God's common way can be there as a generous greeting for people in a safe campus. That's what we're about. In a dangerous world, being able to create safe space through loving relationships that we can show Christ. Now, that's how Christ did it, right? Jacob led us beautifully along with the choir in a song that we sang that he is. Mark, in writing his gospel, wrote in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The generous mission of the Messiah coming into our sin-sick world, a virus of sin in our world, and that he is the cure for this sin virus. He came not to receive, but he came to give. But in his giving, he is transformed our world. But we must then be the disciples and followers who put this into play. And so we say in our mission, we say in our vision statement that we are caring family of believers, communicating and applying the life-changing message of Christ's unconditional love, followed by our mission statement that seekers becoming believers and believers becoming disciples. It is in that disciple that we really get it. We find the fun of it all. You know, in this generosity call for us, my ask of you and my challenge for you is for you to look around and see who's not here that you have noticed has been here before. And if this is your first time here, that's wonderful. We had 125 people yesterday, and about 25 of those for work day aren't members of our church, and some have just started worshiping here. But in that sense of the generous spirit stepped in, but look around who's not here, and this week, reach out to at least one of them and say, how are you? And pray for them here so that you can say and communicate a text, an email, a phone call. There's this thing that used to be called a letter. You get a pen and paper and you write it. Send that. We had someone that was taken to the hospital, came back home in a crisis, and was greeted by a yellow card from our prayer room. Those are our prayer grams sent by the prayer room. The generosity of communication so people know they're connected into God's hope and connected into the lives of people. You can be the power of the influence to make that difference. So we find then in this story that Michael and Nancy read for us, it's a story that many of you are familiar with, but I'm taking the angle of seeing the story from the eyes of Christ's generosity and what it is that he was showing us about the secret of life. Because that's why this, what in Luke is called the rich young ruler, came to Jesus. Mark makes it clear that this person came to Jesus who had a lot of stuff, and maybe he lost 10% of it in the stock market, but he had a lot of stuff, but it wasn't making him happy. He had done a lot of good things, but his good things hadn't given him the confidence that he understood what this gift of grace and forgiveness and salvation were all about. So Mark highlights that he ran to Jesus, which the rich people didn't do in the day of Jesus, got down on his knees, which certainly the rich people didn't do in the day of Jesus. He got down on his knees, just like Mark had said in a few verses earlier, like a leper, and begged before Jesus. He was earnestly coming unto the Lord. And in the power of that story, how did Jesus respond? Well, we see that the generosity stretches our heart into the love of God. That's what happens when you find yourself extending what you have into the life of another. You find that there is that heart connection. And as our hearts grow, we grow in happiness and our gratitude extends itself and it becomes a contagious thing, the good kind of contagion that we want. And what did Jesus do in Mark 10:21? It's a powerful insight to how Jesus did his life. He looked at the man and he loved him. He looked and he loved. The generosity of Christ's heart connected directly into the life of the other person, and Jesus was communicating his love. Jesus looks at you right now, exactly what's occurring in your life right now, and he's looking at love at you. And we live in an age in which how we look at people, particularly now, and how we can look at people with love can make that difference. Powerful difference. There was a Jewish Christian saying around this time that that when you extend your hand to receive, don't pull back your hand when it's time to give. You remember one of my favorite stories about a Sunday morning offering is that dad and son were visiting the worship experience. They went to the parking lot afterwards, and the dad was grumbling about the service, you know, didn't like the music, didn't have enough of this, didn't like the preaching, didn't have enough of that. People weren't connecting and friendly. And then this little boy looked up at dad and said, "Well, Dad, I saw when that offering plate came by, I think it was a pretty good service for that quarter you put in." You know? The boy was catching it, that there's a, when we're not generous in our heart, we're not a happy people. We can't really see what's going on. But with a generosity of the eyes that look and love as Jesus, then we're able to see the field of vision which God is giving. And speaking of giving, as Jesus did so, it captured the imagination of a stingy world. So much so that in a different scene, the Apostle Paul wrote about it in a closing message to his dear friends that he would never see again. He was leaving this larger region of Ephesus, and he was taking an offering, a generous offering, back to Jerusalem because the Christians in Jerusalem were undergoing persecution. There was a famine in the land, and took an offering from Greek Christians to show the love by generosity to the Jewish Christians, and he gave the closing message with the famous line that it's more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20:35. That generosity positions us to receive what God is wanting to give. There's so many blessings that God is wanting to give you that haven't yet arrived, but they will arrive, and for me and in our world. And I don't mean more money in the bank, but I mean the generosity of his love empowerment as we then continue to expand our field of vision. That means we can be blessed to receive and blessed to give. Do you remember the story of our dear friends, Hewlett and Sheila Glore? Hewlett shared it with us last year. He told the story about his wife, who's a remarkable lady, an educator like Hewlett. Hewlett is he's a world-known New Testament scholar, preacher, who in 2005 himself suffered a debilitating stroke, except he took the loss of what his body could no longer do, and that had full use of his right side, and limped along, as he's now done for 15 years, with remarkable servant leadership, with transforming power. In doing so, two Christmases seasons back, he and Sheila were in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they were at the Salvation Army, you know, a kettle, and they were kind of shepherding for people to make contributions while they were there. And as they were doing so, they noticed there were some school children that were running out of a building to go to their bus. And as they were running towards their bus, about half of them had already gotten on the bus. But there was a girl who stopped when she saw the kettle and Hewlett and Sheila and realized that this was a chance that she could give. So she stopped and she went into her bag, into her little purse, and she pulled out a coin and she dropped it in. Now, I called Hewlett yesterday just to make sure I had the story right. Then every child that left the building before they got to the bus did exactly as that one girl did. They reached in, got a coin, they put it in. The teachers did. The class sponsors did. And it was the power of one to be generous that released the generosity desire for all who were there, catching the spirit of what it means that it is blessed to give so that others may receive. And as others then receive the blessing that's given, then we also receive the joy of what they're receiving. We can't outgive God. He's loved the world so much that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him will not perish. The gift of all gifts, eternal life that begins now in salvation. This Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life, generously give his life as a gift, as a ransom for many. But we need this kind of generosity that positions us to then to receive what God is offering, to stretch our hearts of what he provides. And then there's the generosity that expresses God's hope for our world. See, this is that remarkable open time in a fear factor in our world, where God's wanting to be able to express hope. A couple of weeks ago, when Stephen and I flew into Zambia for the All African Baptist Leadership Meeting, we flew into the big airports, and then we flew into a little outpost of an airport in Ndola, right on the border of Zambia and the Congo. But while we were greeted there, there was this lady out on the tarmac, and she had her mask on. And there were people greeting us as we came in, and they asked all the questions about where you've been and how long were you there. And then, again, it was just the awareness that we're all aware. And that's a good thing that we're all aware. I shared with you that I have a friend who's been traveling, does a lot of traveling, and he noticed that there were more men lined up in the lavatories than the other parts of the restrooms in the airport. Hygiene, that's good stuff. We're all aware that we're vulnerable, right? We're all aware that death comes, right? But in this awareness, God's not wanting us to retract our lives. He's wanting us to expand our lives by releasing more of his love when fear is wanting to kidnap our soul and take us away. Generosity expresses God's hope for our world. And so when the man who came to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And to him whom Jesus said, "Listen, I love you, but you're lugging all your possessions around with you, and unless you let go of your idols, you're never gonna step into a real trust with me. And your idols are this all the stuff you have. You need to give that away." He didn't say that to everybody, but he said it to this man. Just like he said to Simon the Zealot, who was a political ideology, had his political way of thinking of how Jesus ought to be, and Simon the Zealot, who wanted a military overthrow of the Roman Empire that day in Jesus, he gave away his political philosophy and asked Jesus to reshape it. Now, Judas Iscariot, who also was a zealot, and he didn't do that. He wanted to hold on. And he, of course, lost his life. He lost the gift that was being generously offered to him. And the other disciples, when they saw what Jesus said to this seeking rich young ruler, they got really nervous themselves, because if he wasn't going to get into this eternal life, how would they ever get there? And then Jesus gave a powerful response in Mark 10:27 that said, "What seems impossible to you is the very possibility of God to do the impossible in your life. With man, this is impossible, but with God, what seems impossible is possible." See, what if in this Easter season around the world, 1.6 billion Christians, in opening relationships and Bible studies and life of the church, opened ourselves in such a way that the rest of the world could see this generous love of God headed towards Easter, and the one who gave his life on the cross for everyone and not just someone's, and that he rose again with the power for everyone and not just somebody's, was also their source not to be afraid of germs, but to be afraid of a selfishness that destroys. Now hear me. I'm all into our sanitizing. I'm doing it. You're doing it. we're doing it. And the best way we can be a safe campus and a safe people is to use good hygiene. You see somebody, you know, sneezing in their hands, you say, uh-uh. I once was at a fast food place a few years ago, and there was a new employee, I assume, was behind the counter, and she was kind of coughing like this and kind of, you know, wiping, you know, like that. And then she asked me what I wanted. I said, well, first what I would like is for you to take care of yourself so you can take care of us, and please go clean your hands. See, and that's something we can all do. That's part of being generous. That's part of being caring. Yeah. But in doing so, that's a method to the means to communicate the abundant life that the Lord gives us to live. That's what's going on. And what would come from that? Well, he rose again. He overcame. And what will happen in Easter of 2020? In some part, it's on me and it's on you. I leave this afternoon and I drive to Beaumont to preach pre-Easter services. That's our Baptist term for Lenten services. But there are going to be 8 different denominations. We're getting together. It's about Lenten services, preaching messages to say this is the power of the gospel for such a time as this. And I'm so proud of Trinity Baptist Church, so proud of you, so proud in your willingness to be these generous people, absolutely in giving our offerings, which are essential for us to have the fuel to do our ministry, but the generosity of a life that can be in contrast to a scared world. Oh, Lord, it is true that all things are possible with you, and that it is blessed to give in light of you. Amen. Oh, Lord, we're about to sing a generous song, a hymn of response, a hymn of giving and receiving, a hymn that will lead us then into an offering in which we can give of our tithes and our we can give of our financial resources to make it possible that dollars and hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars can come together to do the work of ministry. And in this season, O Lord, we are glad that you don't step back, but you step forward as a Son of Man who gave his life. In Christ, amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.